Welcome to another brilliant sport and lifestyle biz here on UK Health Radio, your real feel-good radio. Unbelievably, we're into the first show of April of 2023, and we have an American slant, an American special. We have an interview from American football star who's played for Team GB and also been a coach at the Buffalo Bills, Phoebe Schechter, and our own friend of the show, Heather Hadley, US Legend Car 8-time champion, and now in the MX5 Master Cup at just the tender age of 21. Throw in our SLB Sports Roundup, and we know you're going to love this one. Well, hello, everyone. This week with me, I've got a very special lady. She's done a lot of facets in the sport she's chosen. She's a former NFL player, is a former coach and still coaches, and she's now a TV pundit. It's Phoebe Schechter. Hi, Phoebe. How are you?
Hello, I'm very well, thank you. Thanks so much for having me on to chat with you today.
Oh, no problem. It's absolute pleasure. And I'm sure by the end of it, we'll all know it's a privilege. Thank you very, very much for that. Just want to obviously go through that you playing and coaching and now being on the television, which is a fantastic opportunity. But just if we go back to the start, really, Phoebe, just so people get to know you a bit better. You were obviously growing up in America. Were you brought up around American football, which gave you any hint that as an adult, this would be a major part in your life?
Not at all. My entire life has been dedicated to horses, and really, you know, I adopted my pony when I was 13 and she was only 4 months old. And for me, that's what I saw as my career path, is running and managing yards, wherever that was. It wasn't really until I moved to the UK over 10 years ago that I got involved in playing American football. And that was really because I was looking for a bit of American culture. And again, horses is pretty much 7 days a week. So I was looking for something that's a bit of a break. So a bit of a social scene outside of the horsey world. And I just think when you're out of your comfort zone, you're so much more willing to take risks. And I was 22 years old, living in a foreign country, essentially. So it all kind of was a big sign that there was a team about 20 minutes from me.
Wow. Amazing. As you said, you know, you were into horses, equestrian. What was your upbringing around them when you were younger?
So my mom is British, and that's how I have dual citizenship. So living in the States, that was something that she encouraged from me from a young age. And I think it's actually taught me and been a lot of the life lessons that I now carry to this day. You know, that whole you fall off, you get back on, and
right.
Responsibility. There's so many of those little things throughout my life, you know, from a young age, being responsible for something else and dedication and hard work, that plays a big role in what I do and who I am now. So yeah, none of my family are sporty at all. So I think they still are not sure exactly what I'm doing.
That's a great point you make, actually, the fact that it does provide great opportunity because, you know, most people, if they want to test their kids for, you know, responsibility, buy them a goldfish or a hamster. Whereas a horse is like proper work, isn't it? You know, it's morning, afternoon, evening, and yeah, a lot of mucking out, as they call it.
Precisely, precisely. And I think it's probably the greatest thing that could have happened to me. It gave me so much focus as well. You know, all I could do was think about going to go see my horse and, you know, dedicating myself to something that's greater than myself. That's really key because I pretty much volunteered with horses. I went to a horse rescue starting at like age 10 and all the way up. So, you know, going there to care of 40 plus horses at a young age, you know, that's what you live. Find something that you're passionate about. And I think it kind of keeps you on the straight and narrow as well.
Absolutely. I know quite a few people in horses. One of my good friends is Holly Doyle, who's one of the best female jockeys on the planet, I think. And, you know, her dedication is amazing. So I know what it is like to look after a horse. That was obviously your main upbringing in life. You came to the UK, as you said, to pursue a career in equestrian. Obviously, there's great facilities over here for horses. Horses were obviously your first love. Was horses something, as you said, you've indicated you were sort of brought up in? And was it also because the opportunities for women in actual team sports wasn't as good at that time? Or was it always horses when you were growing up?
I think for me, it was always horses. You know, I put my heart and soul into whatever it was I was doing, and it was horses for me. I did play team sports growing up, and you know, I was lucky that the schools I went to allowed me to play on the boys' team. So I played basketball on the boys' team. I played softball, cross country, lacrosse. Wow. So I played a bunch of different sports. And I think because of how how I grew up, I never really cared about gender. So by that, I mean, I felt like I was just the same as everyone else. I felt like I was the same as the boys. And if anything, I was probably a bit too competitive and, you know, wanted to beat the boys at everything that I did, you know, that kind of attitude towards things. So I think as I grew up, because I always felt like I could do anything, you know, no matter the fact that I was a girl, that never even fazed me, to be honest. Yeah. And I feel like because I felt that way, that now later in life, I'm like, yeah, so what? I might be the only girl in the room. Who cares? This has been my life since I was a young kid.
Yeah. I mean, what a great attitude to have. And that's one of the things we're trying to instill into the girls at football. So what if you're a girl? It doesn't mean you're any worse a player. So yeah, that's a brilliant attitude to have. Something that every girl should really look up to if they're struggling for that confidence. So yeah, amazing, Phoebe. Absolutely brilliant. And then after just a month in the UK, you saw a social media advert for tryouts at American football. What was it that made you go for that decision? Was it just the bit of culture that you said, or did you actually love the sport?
No, I did not love the sport, but I just thought, what a sign, right? I mean, literally, like you're saying, a month after moving here, there's trials in Manchester, 20 minutes from where I'm living.
Wow.
I mean, it couldn't have been the stars aligning anymore. You know, I still remember like sitting on my laptop and seeing that and thinking, oh my gosh, like I've got to do this. I'm going to go for this. Whilst having no clue about the sport itself or how it operates. And that's why I think it was something I've carried with me for so long now. Any of these opportunities, just go for it. You know, what's the worst that could happen? So what if you're not successful in it? You know, you probably learned from the experience. But if you don't give yourself the chance and you don't take that chance,
yes,
you never know what could happen on the other side.
No, again, brilliant, brilliant thing for any girl to listen to and take on board. You're a shining example, you know, just on how to achieve, just to go for things, really, you know, believe in yourself and go for things. So obviously it went well. I'd like you to talk about your career now, but things that it included. You obviously played a sport at a good level. You played at national level for the British women's American football team, including a medal, a silver medal in the 2022 World Championship. So how amazing was that, the championships? But tell us a little bit about how your career unfolded to actually get you to that national level.
Yeah, so I think part of it is timing, right? Timing is everything. And when I started playing in this country 10 years ago, that's really when the sport for women was starting.
Right.
So I got in there right at the beginning, right in the infancy of the sport. And the national program was literally starting that same year that I got involved in it. So finding my position on the team and, you know, growing the game from going from 5-a-side up to the 11-a-side version that we play now, which is what everyone plays.
Yeah.
It's just been an incredible journey to be a part of. And I mean, it's fulfilled everything that I was looking for in terms of the social aspects, the kind of family aspects you get from sports, the competition and everything like that. So, you know, for us, I've been at every championship that we've had as a national program. I play tackle and I play the non-contact version, which is flag. And, you know, the sport is still growing. So like last year when we went to the World Championships in Finland and came second. I mean, that was a huge achievement for us. No one had ever, apart from Canada, ever played the USA or made it to a final and played USA in a final. So that was massive. And we were tied 14-14 at halftime with USA. And, you know, they took off in the second half. But for us, it just shows the potential, because domestically, we're just moving up this year to 9-a-side football. But historically, we've been playing 7-a-side, so the pitch is much smaller. You know, the dynamics of the game are different. So we're building up to playing 11-a-side, which is key. And then this upcoming summer, well, actually even before that, we've got European qualifiers in the country. So in April, we play Sweden and Worcester, which will be very cool for us as a tackle team. And then we've got the European Championship in Ireland with flag football. So lots going on.
Lots going on. And you seem to be doing so well at everything. So it must be a very exciting time for you.
It is. And I think I've been fortunate to have really great people around me and I have a great team. And I think, you know, part of it has also been a lot of sacrifice over the years, you know, so a lot of hard work and a lot of dedication to this sport and a long time of not making any money. So it's nice. And even us as a sport, right, for us as women playing this sport, well, for anybody playing American football in the UK, you have to pay to play.
Mm,
so, you know, everything costs money. And I think to finally be in a spot where I'm like, at least I can afford to pay to play for my country is exciting.
Yeah, I mean, amazing. You're right, the same with football, soccer. You do have to pay to play at certain levels, and it is expensive, especially with families who've got more than one sibling. No, absolutely amazing, Phoebe. And the fact is, you're not only satisfied with playing, you also want to give back, which is another amazing trait to have. You started coaching in Manchester, which it was fantastic. You picked that up early. But then you made the switch back to America and went for a college experience. How was that? And is that what really developed your love for coaching, or just did it enhance it?
Yeah, I mean, for me, going to the U.S. and coaching out there, again, just went out there, lived on my head coach's, in the basement of my head coach's house, and, you know, would run to work. You don't make any money, and that's all part of it, right? Like, what are those survival stories that you build? But I think putting yourself to be around great humans that you can learn from, I think that's really what struck my love for it. There are no opportunities in the UK where you can be a full-time American football coach. So to be able to go out there and do that was really exciting, and it absolutely sparked my love for it. And I just thought, this is the world I want to live in. This is what I want to do. I want to help people, and I want to be surrounded by this elite mindset for as long as possible.
In your time there, you applied for the Bill Walsh Diversity Fellowship Program and gained an opportunity with the Buffalo Bills. I mean, what a fantastic opportunity was that, and how did that make you feel?
Yeah, that was just incredible. You know, I remember a year before that basically saying, I want to coach the NFL one day, right? And I'm a big believer now of saying, whatever it is that you want to do, say it out loud, tell people about it, because they might think of you in that moment, oh, you know, John said he wants to do this, or so-and-so said they want to do that. But if you don't tell people what your goals are or your dreams are, then you don't know, you could be missing out on people helping you. And so when I finally got the opportunity and went through the rigorous interview process to be with the Bills, I remember my first coaches meeting. It was like a staff meeting, essentially. And just hanging on every word that our head coach was saying, Sean McDermott, because everything he was saying, I was like, this is how I feel. I believe in everything. Like, we have the same values, the same mindset. And I think that's so key when you're joining any organization, whether you're playing or within a work perspective, you want to have the same vision and pull in the same direction. And to be able to be like that with him and with a professional outfit, it was just amazing. It's all about that kind of top-down thought process. And I think having a female owner helps that. You know, you bring in people that of the same mindset. Coach McDermott himself has two young girls. And I think having daughters changes your outlook on the world. So it was just a nonstop learning experience for me. You know, I had my ups and downs, don't get me wrong, but the learning, and you can never forget like the actual experience of it.
Absolutely. And I presume it's one that you just, without even thought, just grabbed it with both hands.
100%. I mean, I remember that phone call with Sean, and he basically, you know, on the call said, you're talking to anybody else, say thank you, but you're going to be a Bill now. And that still gives me goosebumps.
Yeah, I can see. I can see the smile.
Incredible.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. Absolutely amazing. And, you know, on the positive side as well, for an organization like the Bills, and I don't say this in any sort of demeaning way to women, but to offer an opportunity to yourself, that's absolutely brilliant, isn't it? But do you still think there's much, much more that needs to be done, not only in American football, but in all sports for women?
Big time. And I think that the NFL has done a really nice job of setting the example of what you can achieve and what you do if you're intentional with, you know, creating these pathways. But we look in the UK and you look at football, you look at, as in soccer, you look at rugby and other sports, and there's so much more that needs to be done. And for a lot of us, you know, and I say us in the sense of anybody who's never worked in elite sport, you don't know what that looks like or what that feels like and what the standard is. And if you don't know what that is, how do you know what you're working towards?
Yeah.
You know, you're just kind of fishing in the dark, essentially. So I think creating opportunities where people get to shadow and be around these different environments is key. But I think part of that comes with not being afraid to have diversity within your organization, diversity of thought, diversity of actual beliefs and skin color and gender. And I think we're still in a world that people are afraid and they don't want to lose their jobs or their roles and they don't want to be replaced by other people.
No, absolutely, Phoebe. And as you know, we create opportunities for girls in soccer or football over here, they call it in the UK, and we send girls to trials directly, showing them a pathway to a career. Just speaking to you and having watched you on the television, you're clearly a role model. Do you take it upon yourself to be that person, one of the flag bearers for women that have achieved, and to show young girls that anything is possible?
I think it's kind of happened by accident, to be honest. Like, it was never that I set out to be in this role, but I think I'm aware of the platform that I have, and I'm aware of the opportunities that I could create. And, you know, even when I was in Buffalo, I was very conscious that I was one of the first people to doing that role, and it was so important for me to make sure that others would follow after me. It doesn't matter if I'm the first or whatever, and I'm there. If no one shows up after me, if no one gets opportunities after me, then I've not done my job. So I think it's important that, you know, for myself, for my teammates, for anybody that's in a position to be able to inspire the next generation. And sometimes even these young girls, they may not realize it, but they're inspiring a generation. They're inspiring their friends. So just being aware of how you present yourself and how you can impact on someone else's life is really, really important. And I try my best at, you know, whether I'm in everyday life or TV or practice, like, that I'm always going to put my best foot forward, because I want to make sure that people see you can be anything that you want to be if you put your mind to it.
That's brilliant. A couple of really good points there, Phoebe, that you make is that as a football coach, I do remind myself, not that I need reminding, but I do consciously remind myself that I am quite an important figure in a lot of the girls' lives that we coach, you know. We're not the parent, we're not the teacher, but they come to us for extra training. So it's not only what you say to them in football, it's what you say to them in general. But something you really, really did, and I've learned something today, is the fact that they inspire their friends. And I haven't looked at it like that. And that's another way I can give them responsibility, by saying they do inspire their friends, because some of their friends may only come to football because of them. But also the way they conduct themselves is a good thing. So thank you for that. Tell us how important, quickly, you feel your role as a coach is.
I think that my role as a coach is key, because first off, like, I want people that look like me to feel like they have the opportunity to coach and inspire others. And I think coaching is so key, because you get to literally help people develop. You help people grow. You help them achieve things in their lives that perhaps they never thought were possible. So, you know, I think I'm very grateful to be able to be in that position, whether it's young men or women or adults or whoever that is. You know, finding a way that I can add value to someone's life is really key.
Brilliant. Thank you for that. That's an absolutely lovely thing to say. And, you know, again, something that any girl, any youngster really, but any girl would take heart from. So, we've briefly touched on your coaching and your playing, and I'd like to get you back on at some time to do other things on the radio. But you're now a pundit on Sky Sports, another tremendous opportunity. And if I may say, you were absolutely brilliant at the Super Bowl. Great coverage. You seem to have a great time, and who wouldn't? And what a tremendous match, by the way. You seem to have done a lot in American football. What's left for you to do?
Oh, man. You know, hopefully I can take a flag football team to the Olympics. That would be pretty cool.
Yes.
I'd love to coach in that respect. But I really want to just find ways to keep developing, keep creating opportunities for young girls to get involved in sport, keeping pathways open to get more women into coaching. You know, I feel like there's always a ton that I want to do. You know, I want to do more within the punditry, broadcasting world. I really enjoy finding a way to translate the game to the public. And I've loved the conversations I've had with people over the past year, just chatting about the sport.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's given me a new lease on life in terms of watching the game, breaking it down. You know, I watched the game with Jason and Neil, much different to how I just watched it if it was on TV at the house.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, it's been pretty cool to be able to analyze a sport that I love so much and share my passion with others.
Yeah, no, fabulous. And it's like, it transcends through the screen that you're having a great time. And, you know, as you said, you're learning on the job as well, which is unbelievable experience. So we'll just take you away from you at the moment, and we'll play a little bit of fantasy American football. for someone who's not an expert in it, and I don't profess to be an expert, I do actually love the game, watching it.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're at the Super Bowl, and you saw, again, who perhaps the untrained eye would consider could potentially be the greatest quarterback ever to play the game, Patrick Mahomes. You actually saw him in action. Whether he was on one leg or not, he still commanded the second half. Do you think he could be that good, like the greatest ever? And how good is he actually to see in the flesh?
I mean, he is magic, right? We always call him Magic Mahomes or Mahomes Magic, and he is exactly that. I think some of those skill sets, and Jalen Hurts has them as well, but intangibles of the mindset that he brings, the confidence, the leadership, the command he has, the interactions with his teammate, and watching him hobble off at halftime, like he literally ran right by me and breathing out so heavy every step when you're in that much pain.
Yeah.
To come back out in the second half and just put all that behind him, dominate the second half is just incredible. And just think about, you know, he's still so young, and the amount of experience and how much he's seen and done so far, and two Super Bowls. I mean, it's unheard of. So, I think he is incredible. He's got a great future ahead of him, and he's going to continue to keep the AFC a bit of a challenging spot for the next few years.
No, you're right. Again, a couple of great points you bring up. He does play with a great coach and a great tight end, as we all know, but it is him that magically draws it together. And he did dominate that second half. But again, you also brought up Jalen Hurts, who, again, being the untrained eye, I knew he was good, but he really surprised me. His first half was sensational, wasn't it? And he nearly pulled it out the bag as it was at the end as well. Do you see him, again, improving? Because Mahomes just seems that it's still not good enough. He still wants to go and achieve and achieve and achieve. Can Jalen Hurts almost dominate the NFC, or is that a little bit harder?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say the AFC is harder in terms of, you know, looking at the other quarterbacks you have there. Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Lawrence, all those guys. I think Jalen Hurts is a really big opportunity. And you look at him from last year, where they just kept saying he couldn't throw the ball, to this year, where he's been dominating through the air.
Yeah.
Again, with a shoulder injury, the way that he was able to still manage to challenge a defense when you've got so many different styles of running backs. And, you know, I'd say in that game, there were a couple out of character drops by his receivers, which, you know, led to perhaps where it was. And then he had that one play that was returned by Nick Bolton on the Chiefs for a touchdown. I mean, these are just moments in a game, but they add up to create that final result. I mean, they had an absolute opportunity to be able to dominate, that's for sure. But it was such a good game. We were so lucky to have such a competitive game, which is what we thought it would be.
Yeah, it was great. And you mentioned Joe Burrow there, who sadly for him might have to sit in the second seat behind Mahomes for a long time, but he's another fantastic quarterback. Sadly, we're pretty much come to the end of the interview for the radio, Phoebe, but could you just let us know, so a little bit of advice for people who want to either get into media or into sports, just a couple of things they can take away, something they should always focus on.
I think absolutely you should reach out to people and ask for help. I think that's the number one thing.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid. If you're looking to get into media, reach out to someone who's in media. Ask them how they got there, what their steps were. None of us got to where we are without the help of others, and I think we can't forget that. So never feel a way about asking people for help. And secondly is just believe in yourself, right?
Yeah.
We all have different skill sets in this world, and I think understanding what those skill sets are and figuring out what you want to do with them later in life is absolutely fine. I mean, goodness, I started in horses and now I'm in broadcasting with American football.
Yep.
So don't be afraid to try as many things as possible and see what you fall in love with.
Brilliant. Well, sadly, as I say, it's come to the end today. I really hope we can have you on again. You've been sensational. So for today, Phoebe Schechter, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been terrific.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Well, everyone, back with us today is one of our favourite guests, good friend of the show. It's Heather Hadley, all the way from America. Hi, Heather, how are you?
Hi, John. I'm great. Thank you so much for having me back on.
Oh, absolutely. It's our pleasure. Personally, we love to keep a track of your progress and how you're doing, and we know that the listeners do as well. Every time you're on, we get a massive audience. So, yeah, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Anytime. No problem. So let's get down to, you know, three, if not more important things. I want to chat to you really about how your season's gone so far. As you know, you're driving in the US Legend cars. We know that you've just been to the World Finals, and people who've seen my Instagram will know that you've done really well. So it'd be lovely to talk to you about that. And then you're making a move next year, so I'd like to go on to that as well. Starting off, yeah, just tell us about how your season's gone, how you're combining gym, your studies and your driving, and how the year's been for you so far.
Yeah, so we've had a really exciting year so far, and we're going to have an even more exciting year next year. We started off with Winter Nationals in Florida, and I did really well there. I ended up finishing second in the championship. And then over the summer, I kind of decided that I'm making the switch to the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup Series presented by BF Goodrich Tires for next year. So I've basically been planning for that, done a little bit of testing, and I was recently accepted as one of 12 finalists to compete at this year's Mazda MX-5 Cup Shootout on November 9th and 10th at Sebring International Raceway. And yeah, so I have a lot to look forward to right now. I also just got done with World Finals, did well there. And so yeah, we're doing great, and we have a lot that we're planning for and looking forward towards.
Fabulous. Lovely to hear you had such a good year. I think we've spoken to you last time about the finals in Florida, the Winter Shootout. You touched on the fact that you've been to the World Finals very recently, and for anybody that hasn't seen my Instagram or yours, you finished third in the whole competition, which is unbelievable. You also won a race during that weekend as well, which is fabulous. Tell us the weekend, how it went, how many races you competed in, talk us through the race that you won, and what it felt like to be on the podium overall.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'd only been there once before, so we kind of went in with minimal experience, and it was raining all day for the practice day, but I did end up first in the first practice session, and then I didn't run any more sessions because of the rain. And then we qualified and had heat races on Saturday, and I ended up winning my heat race. The heat race is basically just the pack being separated into groups and having their own individual races, which will kind of determine part of your starting position for the feature on Sunday. So won my heat race on Saturday and ended up starting eighth on the race on Sunday. Started eighth, but that's where I started. And yeah, I drove up and to the front and finished third. And so overall, it was a great weekend, unexpected with just the amount of experience that we had going into it, but it exceeded all my expectations. And yeah, I walked away from that weekend very happy.
Absolutely. You know, just to finish third in the World Finals is unbelievable, Heather, and just a pinprick in how talented you are. Just a couple of things, if I may pick up on what you were talking about. You said that you were separated into groups for the heats, effectively, as it were. Is there any particular organization on how you're separated into groups, or is it random, or is it drawing lots? How do they work that out?
Yeah, they organize the order of the heat races based on qualifying times. So the person that qualified second was the leader in my heat race, because yeah, I was in the second heat race. And then I believe the person who qualified fifth was the person that started second in my heat race, and I started third. Right. So it's determined, and then how you finish in the heat race combined with your qualifying times is how they're supposed to determine starting positions for the future on Sunday.
Yeah, and something else that you mentioned and alluded to yourself, it seems rather bizarre that you won the race two or heat two, yet you started as low as eighth in the final.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure how that was decided. I went up and I talked to race officials, and I was just curious. I was like, I'm just trying to figure out how this was determined. But yeah, I guess it's just off points, and because I qualified eight, that's just where I ended up starting, just based off points. So it was unfortunate. Wish I had qualified better, but we ended up having a great race anyway, so okay in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. You got all the way up to third, which obviously got you onto the podium. Is there an argument that this low start position cost you the actual championship? I mean, were you closing in on the leaders? Were you far away from the front two?
Yeah, it's definitely a possibility because we, you know, just starting eighth, you get separated from the front group pretty quickly, and then you have to kind of fight and, you know, use your tires a little bit. Like, you heat them up. I would argue that, you know, if I were to start at the beginning of the pack, I wouldn't have been fighting to get past several cars and be more aggressive on the tires, trying to catch the leaders. So by the time that you catch them, you're kind of dual tires. So it's just things that happen when you start further back, you know.
Yeah, I mean, people who obviously haven't seen you race, but if they follow Formula One, will be in the knowledge of that. You know, they're always going on about you can't follow a car too much because it ruins the tyres. I know they're open wheels, so I don't know if the flow off the car in front has any effect on that, but you do burn your tyres up more by racing them hard early on, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so to be honest with you, you know, the start position in the final was out of your hands, and you still went through the field and got all the way up to third. You must be extremely proud and happy.
Oh, I'm very happy. I'm ecstatic. It was unexpected, but I'll take it any day.
Yeah, of course.
Finals was definitely not something that I wanted to just, you know, give away. I was very proud of that one.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you said, you'd had minimal experience there as well. I mean, perhaps an extra year on your back, you might have even come away with higher, but this isn't a time to be negative, is it? You know, it's an amazing achievement and one that you can obviously take away from that part of motorsport into your next chapter with a great feeling.
Yep, absolutely.
Brilliant. And you mentioned that you are joining the Mazda MX-5, which is amazing that you're stepping up a level again, stepping up a level, challenging yourself. But you said you qualified as one of 12 for a shootout at the beginning of November. Tell us again whereabouts that is and what that involves. How many races and how many competitors?
Yeah, so basically there were 40 at-large nominees who were nominated for the MX-5 Cup shootout this year. And we all had to submit, and then they chose 12 finalists to come out and be at Sebring International Raceway on November 9th and 10th. And basically, it's a type of time trial event. It's not a race. You're coming out and you're trying to get a quick lap, and you're also being tested on how well you interview and conduct yourself. And they're testing on a variety of levels. But yeah, I'm just so honored and grateful chosen to be a part of this event, and I can't thank Mazda enough for the opportunity. I'm just so excited about it, and I've been preparing for it ever since I found out.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's almost like a get to know you weekend to prepare you for the championship next year.
Yeah, so out at the MX-5 Cup shootout, the second day they will announce who wins 3 scholarships, 2 being $75,000 scholarships, and the top one being $110,000. One of these $75,000 scholarships is a Women's Initiative scholarship. And so I, just being a woman, have a better shot at that scholarship. But announced the end of the second day, and that will go towards the MX-5 Cup Series next year.
Fabulous. That would be amazing, wouldn't it, if you managed to bag one of those 3?
It would be life-changing, honestly. It would just be incredible. Yeah.
Because, you know, we've mentioned it before, haven't we, that people don't actually realise when you're not in NASCAR or you're not in IndyCar or you're not in Formula One, you tend to have to pay to drive, and it's not cheap, is it?
No, definitely not.
I mean, we've spoken off-air about the numbers, and I can just say to the audience that it's life-changing money, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I know how hard my family works, you know, money to contribute to my racing career. And just to be able to have a shot at a scholarship to, you know, be able to help my family out, you know, to just help us throughout the season, that would be incredible.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, amazing, Heather. Obviously, we've spoken again, as I said, off air about how much your family have helped you. But obviously, you've repaid their faith with how amazing you are at what you do. And this next step up is a step in the right direction. So tell us a little bit about the Mazda MX-5, you know, the details of the cars, how many competitors, the amount of races in a series. And one thing I want you to mention is the amazing tracks that you're actually going to be driving at.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup Series presented by BF Goodrich Tires basically comprised of about 30 cars each race, and over the course of a season there is $1 million payout, which amounts to about $26,000 each race and 10 drivers, plus a $2,000 bonus for the top finishing female driver. So we race at Daytona at the beginning of the series, or at the season. We had incredible historic tracks like Watkins Glen, Road America, and plenty of other tracks like Road Atlanta, VIR, Laguna Seca, tracks that I've been, you know, looking at since I was a child and wanting to be on. And we travel around with IMSA. This series is sanctioned by IMSA, so we get to just be a part of incredible experiences overall. And at the end of the season, the championship winner gets $250,000, and rookie of the year gets $85,000.
That's amazing, that is. Yeah, absolutely amazing. Just the tracks you've read out there, you know, Daytona, iconic, Watkins Glen, Laguna Seca, Road America. I mean, they're ones that are championship tracks that are on television that are shown over here. So they're obviously amazing circuits. Do you get the opportunity to go and drive in testing, or can you only go for that weekend and do your practice before a race?
Yeah, so we're working on testing this year in the off season, and then we'll also most likely do some testing throughout the season, probably at tracks before we go and race them. But yeah, it just kind of depends on where we're at, and I also just practice on iRacing on all those tracks all the time, so I'm getting an idea of what they're like on iRacing, which gives me a basic idea of what they're like in person. And so if we don't end up, you know, getting to test it every still should be okay preparation-wise.
At least it gives you an idea of the configuration of a circuit, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's unreal how realistic a video game can be nowadays.
Absolutely. And how much are you looking forward to this, Heather?
Oh my gosh, I am so excited for next year. What I've lived for the past 10 years is to be in a professional road racing series, and racing with IMSA, it's truly a dream of mine, and I just can't stop thinking about it every day. Yeah, I'm just excited for it to start happening, and I'm so looking forward to it.
Well, Heather, as I said before, it's always such a pleasure to talk to you and interview you. We do get massive audiences when you're on. People are genuinely interested. Everybody loves motorsport, or majority of people love motorsport. You know, you're groundbreaking. You are one of the women that are breaking ground in motorsport, and this is only what you deserve, and we can't wait to hear your progress on it.
Thank you so much, John, and I appreciate the listeners as well. I'm just glad to be on all the time, and I look forward to giving you updates throughout the season next year.
Absolutely, and we'll definitely have you on after the 9th and 10th of November, and it will be a massive celebration if you do bag one of the three scholarships, but if not, you can just tell us about the whole experience and what you gained out of it and how much perhaps more confidence it's given you going into next year.
Absolutely, that sounds great.
Brilliant. Heather, thank you very much. Everybody, it's Heather Hadley.
UK House Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK House Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
We finish off this week's show with our famous SLB Sports Roundup, featuring golf, horse racing, darts, boxing, motorsport, NBA, and a little bit of WWE. Golf is the starter with the PGA Tour and the Valero Texas Open from the TPC San Antonio. It was won by Corey Connors of Canada on minus 15. A great fillip for him going into this week's big event. He held off Sam Stevens by one shot on minus 14, with Sam Ryder and Matt Kuchar one further back on minus 13. This week, it's the US Masters from the famous old course at Augusta National. It's a joint tour tournament with the PGA and the DP World Tour sharing it. Obvious ones to point out are Rory McIlroy, John Rahm and Scottie Scheffler, with a few big outsiders that we think are youngsters up and coming. Victor Hovland, Sam Burns, Cameron Young, Will Zalatoris, all could be in the mix. LIV golfers Cameron Smith and Dustin Johnson, who always plays well at Augusta National, also back this week on the tour. We're going to go for Rory McIlroy to make a career grand slam by winning the only major that's eluded him. Scottie Scheffler's going to run him closely, Phil. We're not sure about John Rahm's form at the moment. He's very good, but he's had a couple of bad tournaments. Then we like the four youngsters that we said as well to perhaps make a splash on one of them. The LPGA hosted the LA Open from the Palos Verdes golf course in California. It was won by Ronan Yu on minus 15. Georgia Hall, second place for the second week running for the English star, one back on minus 14. Three, a two-way tie for third, HJ Kim and Patty Tavatantakat on minus 12. Horse racing, it was a comeback of our good friend Holly Doyle. She rode a winner on her first ride back for Archie Watson. And it was also this weekend the first big flat handicap on the first days of the flat season. It was the Lincoln from Doncaster, and whilst we didn't get the winner, two of our selections ran very, very well into places, but the heavy ground took its toll, and a mudlark, Migration, trained by David Manoussier and ridden by Benoit de la Sayette, took the race under top weight, an astonishing performance, who caught our selection, just in the last few strides. Next week, one to look forward to. It's the Aintree Festival and some to look out for. The Aintree Bowl has Shiskin as favourite. I'm not so sure of him over 3 miles yet at top class. And I would like to take him on with Brave Man's Game and Conflated. The Aintree Hurdle should be a breeze in the park for Constitution Hill. The Topham, we like Guestville, Haute en Couleur and Ashdown Lad. And obviously then on the Saturday, the big one. The Grand National, we've already given you Correct Rambler, Noble Yates, Delta Work and Mr. Invincible. We don't think Gaillard de Mayenil is going to run for Willie Mullins. In fact, he might go on Easter Monday to the Irish National, and please look out for him if he runs in that. Darts and week 9 of the Premier League was in Berlin, and it was a return to form for Johnny Clayton, who not only won the week after languishing near the bottom of the table, he beat the three best players in the world to win the night. He started off by defeating Michael van Gerwen, who was top of the table. Then in the semi-final, he beat Gerwin Price, and in the final, he dispatched Michael Smith 6-4 to claim 5 points. Second place, obviously, Michael Smith, claiming 3 points, and the two beaten semi-finalists, Nathan Aspinall and Gerwin Price, both on 2 points. That leaves the league and the top 4 places as follows, as we're halfway through. Michael van Gerwen top on 25, his lead is being eroded all the time by Gerwin Price now on 20. Michael Smith, Nathan Aspinall tied on 15, third place. And then Johnny Clayton is closing them down for that top 4. Boxing, Anthony Joshua made his comeback with a fight against Jermaine Franklin. It should have been an easy win, really, for Anthony Joshua. He won on points and struggled at times, but it was his first fight for a long time. I still don't believe he could live with Alexander Usyk, who's beaten him twice, Tyson Fury, or Deontay Wilder. But Anthony Joshua, credit to him, is pushing for these big fights. Let's see if they come off. Motorsport and NASCAR. It was a Toyota Owners 400 from Richmond Raceway, and it was won by Kyle Larson. Chevy Camaro for Hendrix Motorsport. Second place, Josh Berry, also Chevy Camaro for JR Motorsports. And Ross Chastain making it a 1-2-3 for the Chevys for Trackhouse Racing. Alex Bowman leads the standings on Chevy Camaro, Hendrix Motorsports on 2-6-3. Second is his teammate Ross Chastain for Trackhouse Racing, 2-5-9. And third is Christopher Bell, Toyota Camry, Joe Gibbs Racing, 2-2-9. This week it's the Food City Dirt Race from Bristol Motor Speedway. IndyCar, and it was the PPG 375 from Texas Motor Speedway, Joseph Newgarden. Joseph Newgarden won the event for Team Penske. Second place was Pato O'Ward for Arrows McLaren, and third place Alex Palou for Chip Ganassi. The standings are led by Pato O'Ward, who's now had 2 second places from the first two races on 82 points. Second place Marcus Ericsson for Chip Ganassi, 75 points. Third place Scott Dixon, also Chip Ganassi, 67 points. Round 3 is on the 16th of April. And the Acura GP of Long Beach in California. MotoGP, and we had the Argentinian Grand Prix from the Autodromo Termaster Rio Honda. And the sprint race, which was the first one of this kind, was won by Brad Binder. On to the main race, and it was won. A first ever win for Marco Bezzecchi for VR46 Ducati. Valentino Rossi's new team. Wow, they've really hit the ground running. Second place, Johann Zarco for Ducati Pramac Racing. And third place, Alex Marquez for the Ducati Team Gresini. The standings are led by Marco Bezzecchi on 50 points. Second place, Frankie Bagnaia, Ducati Lenovo, 41 points. Third place, Johann Zarco, he was on 35. The next round is on the 30th of April, the Spanish Grand Prix from Circuit Jerez. British Superbikes have their first round this week from Silverstone. From the testing last week, look out for Kyle Ride, Josh Brooks and Jason O'Halloran. Also, Glenn Irwin, who's moved from Honda to the new team. He may cause a shock, but testing didn't go as planned. Formula One, they were back with Australian Grand Prix from Albert Park, Melbourne. Max Verstappen looked to stroll away as normal. He won the race with 25 points. Second place, a much improved performance for Mercedes and Lewis Hamilton. And third place, Fernando Alonso, 15 points for Aston Martin. It should have been a breeze for Max Verstappen, but he was twice jumped from the start by the Mercedes, once by George Russell, once by Lewis Hamilton. However, Red Bull is just so quick, and Max was almost foot perfect apart from one lock-up. Lewis Hamilton, absolute brilliant performance from Lewis, much better from Mercedes, and he got second place on merit. Yes, George Russell broke down. Sergio Perez started from the back. Having said that, Lewis held off Fernando Alonso in a great battle for the whole race between second and third. And even though they never actually got close, there was not much in it, and it was a super race. Max obviously leads the standings on 69 points. Second place is Sergio Perez on 54. Third place, Fernando Alonso on 38. The Constructors sees Red Bull way out in front already on 1-2-3. Aston Martin is second on 65. Mercedes are third on 56. Well, that was a race full of red flags, drama, crashes, breakdowns, fires. But we got there in the end, and the winner was as predictable as ever. They're back on the 30th of April with the Azerbaijan Grand Prix from Baku. NBA, some important results. Knicks 133, Raptors 115. Nuggets 116, 76ers 111, Kings 115, Timberwolves 119, Clippers 124, Bulls 112, Wizards 130, Celtics 118, Golden State Warriors 120, Pelicans 109, Pacers 136, Bucks 149, Nets 123, Rockets 114, 76ers 116, Mavericks 108, Knicks 101, Heat 92, Bulls 110, Lakers 121. Trailblazers 80, Kings 120, Bucks 99, Celtics 140, Nuggets 88, Pelicans 107, 76ers 117, Raptors 110, Celtics 122, Jazz 114, Cavaliers 116, Knicks 130, Nets 124, Hawks 107, Timberwolves 111, Lakers 123, Suns 100, Nuggets 93, Nets 111, Jazz 110, Knicks 118, Wizards 109, Rockets 109, Lakers 134, Bucks 117, 76ers 104, Nuggets 112, Golden State Warriors 110. Well, as we do have only three or four games left, the fighting positions for the play-ins and playoffs are very, very important. The East, the Bucks have qualified as conference champions. They're 56-22. Playoffs guaranteed for second. Celtics 54-24, 76ers 51-27, Cavaliers 49-30, and the Knicks, who are fifth on 46-33. Still have to fight for it. The Nets on 43-35, Heat 41-37, Hawks 39-39, Raptors 39-39, and Bulls 38-40. The West, the Nuggets have led the way and won the conference on 52-26. Grizzlies and the Kings on 49-29 and 47-31 respectively have clinched playoff places. The Suns, 43-35, have to fight it out with the Clippers and the Warriors on 41-38. The Lakers and the Pelicans on 40-38. The Timberwolves on 38-40 and the Thunder on 38-41. Some big games this week, which you can imagine. And next week, we will hopefully be able to bring you the full play-in and playoff qualifiers. We finish this week with WWE and it's WrestleMania, the Olympics of wrestling, the place that everybody looks to go to. And the two big nightly features, the Universal Tag Team Championships, held by the Usos, was won by Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. We thought it might cause the collapse of the bloodline headed by the tribal chief Roman Reigns, but he held on to his title with an assist from Solo Sikoa to remain the Universal World Champion. We thought he might lose it at the big event, but no. Roman Reigns carries on, and he is now champion for 946 days. What an absolute legend. I reckon he'll get to 1,000, and then he'll probably lose the title. But we'll say congratulations to Roman Reigns on such a brilliant feat. Over 3 years, pretty much. What a great feat for Roman Reigns. Well, that's the end of another show. Thank you to everybody who listened and tuned in. We are so grateful to you. Big thank you to our two star guests, Phoebe Schechter and Heather Hadley, and also to Johan, Rafaela, and the whole team at UK Health Radio for giving this amazing platform. We will see you all next week.